And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Happy New Year. Hope you had a fantastic holiday season. It's time for the first edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice for 2026, Week 14 Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen. What's going on, Jake?
Nick, I did have a great holiday season. I hope all the listeners out there did as well. I'm ready to hit the ground running here in 2026. Put 25 behind us, and let's get this ball rolling. We've got a lot to talk about over the course of the holidays. Olympic rosters are out as well. We could argue about that, and obviously a lot going on in fantasy hockey as well.
Lots to uncover, but the one thing I did think about before doing today's podcast, New Year's resolutions, but like fantasy hockey edition. And for me, it's going to be chase categories, not names. I think I have this tendency of looking at a big, bold name on the waiver wire and being like, you know what? I'm going to go after that guy when there's a guy on the wire that's been ripping it up. So I'm just going to change my focus this year, Jake.
My New Year's resolution is to not be too loyal to players that I drafted. I think I give them way too long of a leash into the season and saying, well, I picked them. You know, I don't want to send them to the wire. And then all of a sudden I get burned and they turn into that player I'd hope for. So, Meany, I don't know if there's anything that you want to change about how you view fantasy hockey or anything else in the hockey world in 2026. But I'm going to try not to be as loyal as I've been to some of the players that I've drafted.
Those are two really good tips. I'd say for me, streaming at this time of the season, you know, Nick, you're talking about chasing categories. You have to get as many categories as you can here down the stretch. There's roughly, what, 6-7 weeks until the puck drops on fantasy hockey playoffs. So chasing four-game streams. We have you covered over at NHL.com/fantasy with four-game streams, with, you know, attacking players on those odd nights, right, Nick? Those low-scheduled nights, the Wednesdays, the Fridays, the Sundays. So, yeah, you can't be married to players at this time of the season. You really got to live in the moment.
That's exactly it. You guys know by now, I love manipulating that schedule. And the schedule's been haywire throughout this season because of one thing, the Olympics. And, you know, I think this is a really good strategy for fantasy owners. Is attacking guys, Jake, whether it's trade route, maybe they're available via waivers, that didn't make the respective Olympic squads. I mean, you look at Canada and USA specifically, there's some big-time names who just didn't make it. Yeah, I don't know if you want to call them snubs, but I think it's a really, really sound approach here in the second half of the fantasy hockey season.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think there's a couple factors to that. There's the motivation factor. Okay, they're a little ticked off. They're not on the roster. And also, you know, we've got a month until the Olympics here, Meany. It's who's to say we can't get a few injuries, and these players could still play their way onto an Olympic squad. So there's still motivation from that standpoint to say, hey, I still want to play well. I still want to keep my name out there. If someone gets hurt, I want to be that first guy they call upon. And if they do end up missing the Olympics and they do end up getting that February off, I don't mind getting a little extra rest for some of these guys as well. There's plenty of different angles, and we are going to see that compressed schedule we've been talking about all year long. But I don't mind what Nick said there, Meany. Go out and target some of these guys because I think they're going to be extra motivated, and we've already seen it from some of the players that were quote-unquote snubs on some of these rosters playing well these last few games.
Yeah, Nick Suzuki comes to mind. I know he made Team Canada, but he did not make the Four Nations faceoff, and he actually talked about it. He said it himself. You know, he was motivated. He was driven after that. It was kind of a wake-up call for him. So I don't think you're getting a guy like Jason Robertson or Cole Caulfield or Connor Bedard, but we can look at them in the prop market. I was extremely shocked to see Jason Robertson left off Team USA and for Sam Bennett to be left off Team Canada, given what we've seen from him over the past couple of seasons. But those are players that certainly you can have keep your eye on, Nick, moving forward, definitely in the prop market. I mean, these are really good players. Both teams are really good squads. This is just, unfortunately, like there's going to be good players left off those teams.
Well, that's exactly it. And I think one guy who's very attainable in fantasy leagues right now is Sam Bennett. And with Matthew Tkachuk slated to come back over the next couple weeks, I think that just slots everybody in a better position. I know Barkov's still not there, although it was great to see him at the Winter Classic hoisting the Stanley Cup. But can I interest you guys, Jake, in Sam Bennett? I know it's been a disappointing season fantasy-wise for this guy, but I just wonder what the repercussions could be of this guy getting a fresh, clean time, maybe not playing in the Olympics. Again, we talked about replacements, but what that does to a guy, maybe it bolts and jolts a guy like Sam Bennett for not making that team.
Well, and he's played a lot of hockey over the last couple of years as well. So if anybody could use some sort of break, it's these Florida Panthers players. And when you actually look up and down the rosters for a lot of these Olympic teams, you see a lot of Florida Panthers on all of these teams, not just Team Canada, Team USA. There's a lot of Panthers being represented. And I think that would worry me about the Panthers, maybe post-Olympics, and you know how much juice do these guys have left in the tank. But Bennett, at least for now, is one that won't be playing and will get that break. So I don't mind him as a target. And I mean, you're not going to go out there and get a Robertson or even a Connor Bedard with him injured off of anybody's roster at this point. I think Bennett is probably one of your more realistic options to go out there and get if you're looking for a trade target.
Means, how about a Thatcher Demko? Vancouver is so intriguing to me because I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. In fact, I think they're going to bottom out. But we just know there's a lot of value in those type of teams post, you know, deadline into the fantasy playoffs, right?
Yeah, and there's something to be said about players not making, you know, these Olympic squads as well with the rest and maybe a rejuvenated squad out of the break. The Canucks are really interesting because you look at their standings, where they're at. They're at the bottom. There's some rumors about some players being shipped away. Sherwood's having a really good season. What's the future hold for him in Vancouver? So I'm a little unsure about maybe buying low on a Thatcher Demko. But guys, I just want to jump in here on Bennett. Like, the window's probably closed. Let's be honest. He's got a 9-game point streak. He's got 22 points in his last 22 games. He's playing his best hockey of the season at the moment. And Jake, you said it. Some of these players may still, they have a chance to make the squad, right? There's an injury to Horvat. Doesn't look like it's too serious, but if a player goes down or two, like, there's still an opportunity for some of these guys to make those teams.
Yeah, for me, I think it's just more so about perception with Bennett, and I think people wonder if Matthew Tkachuk comes back, what that does the value of a Bennett. But I think you're so right. I think that window could be closing, and specifically now with Tkachuk on the men and coming back, I think you attack that file as best you can. I expect Florida to take a big jump, if they haven't already, the last couple weeks over the next little while. Jay, can I interest you in Igor Chinnikov now with the Pittsburgh Penguins? I was waiting all afternoon. What a comeback. He gets an apple in OT. He scores as well. He's played 3 games, has a couple points, playing around 12 minutes a night so far. I'm putting him on my watch list for now.
I think watch list is fair. These are the kind of files I do like to take a shot on, just because he flashed talent a couple years ago, fell out of favor in Columbus, wanted out of there. The Jackets took their time. They didn't, you know, trade him right away. They kind of made him sit there for a little while. I'm sure he's excited to just kind of put this behind him. And you're going to get an opportunity in Pittsburgh. It's messy to kind of figure out line combos in that top six, but you're probably going to get put with a good player. And you know, Kyle Dubas and the Penguins went out and traded for him for a reason, Meanie. So I feel like he's going to get an opportunity, and like Nick said, probably just a watch list guy for right now, but I think he's got potential to do some damage in that Penguins lineup, and I think they are going to give him an opportunity out of the gate here.
Yeah, he's playing with rookie Ben Kindle. They seem to have chemistry. You know, at the moment, Kindle's had a pretty decent season. He's got 3 points over his past 2 games, and Chinnikov could move up into that top six. I know Evgeny Malkin is close to returning as well. Anthony Mantha's had a heck of a season. If they decide to move on from him at the deadline, all of a sudden that opens up more ice time. And let's be honest about the Penguins. As much as they give up a couple goals, Nick, they score as well, right? And the power play is good. That top line with Crosby, Raquel, and Russ is a really good line. So they play a lot of high event hockey, which is great for fantasy hockey and certainly in the prop market.
1,000%. Pittsburgh's exceeded my expectations. I remember having the conversation going into the season. This is going to be about Sidney Crosby and Malkin. Where do they end up potentially at the deadline? But I think they're going to be in the mix. I mean, the Chinnikov pickup shows you that they're going to try to go after things, relatively speaking. I think they'll be in the mix of a playoff spot. Like, it's been a really, really impressive season for them. Not to mention, we'll see what happens here with Stuart Skinner. But I think the big story here the last little while, even post Olympic selections, guys, is the injuries, right, Jake? Where you look at Bo Horvat, you look at Mackenzie Blackwood, Landeskog, you just hope the best, man. That was tough to see him leave that game. Devon Taves, Kochetkov's done for the year. Haven't heard that one before. Seth Jones, like, so many guys banged up the last even week here.
Feels like a new goalie every week, heck, every day at this point. With some of these injuries, this has just been a theme all season long. We could finally close the book on Tkachuk. I was a frustrated Tkachuk owner where he's playing not playing. Yeah, but hey, at least now I can, at least now I don't have to play that game. You know, I obviously don't want to see the guy out for the year, and I want to see him healthy and playing for the Canes. But as a fantasy owner, I can say I'm done. I'm cutting ties. I'm dropping them. I'm moving on, because it was a frustrating sort of up and down file. Meanie, what are we doing with the Winnipeg Jets, by the way? What is going on in Winnipeg? Can you you explain what's happened to the Jets this year? And now an extended losing streak, one of the worst teams in the league. Kind of looks like their season might be cooked unless they can string a bunch of wins together. Is there any juice on that fantasy file? Like maybe some buy low opportunities? We talk about guys that got snubbed from the Olympic roster. Scheifele would certainly be one of those names that would have been in the mix. Is there anything there on Winnipeg for you?
Not really. You know, I was putting together the teams that play four games, and I usually list five or six players, and I could only list Adam Lowry. You know, the top line for the Jets, they're all owned, they're all great. Scheifele certainly is snub, and Connor, and then Vilardi. After that, you know, you have Josh Morrissey on the back end. Neil Pionk has showed in leagues with hits and blocks he can be valuable, but he's not putting up the points. So this is essentially a one-line team. They're not scoring. Adam Lowry can help you in a deeper league with face-off wins, but let's be honest, you want to grab somebody who's playing in the top six or at least getting some top power play time. So Cole Perfetti, it's been a down year for him. This is, again, a one-line team, and last year they were really efficient on the power play. The power play isn't as good. So no, Nick, there's nothing there for me, and I don't expect this team to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you. The one thing I will say, I think there's going to be a lot of value in Winnipeg down the stretch. I think they're going to be a tough team, and the big reason why is Connor Hellebuyck. Like last time I checked, he's still in there, came back from the surgery last month. But I just really confused by this league. For the last decade, it seems like teams are in a hurry to fire their coach. And now this year, we sit here on January 5th, not one coach has been fired. And, you know, tapping into people I know in Winnipeg, it really, really sounds like Scott Arneil has lost that room and has been that story for 2 weeks. And yet he's still the head coach with guys like DeBoer and Laviolette and others still available. Jake, make sense of that for me, please.
Well, my sense of it, Nick, is when you fire all the coaches, there's no coaches left to be fired. So we fired everybody last year, so there's nobody left
you
to fire. No. Well, honestly, I don't mind Torts for a quick fix. Like, bring him in. I don't know if I want him as my coach for 3 or 4 years, but I don't mind him as my coach for half a year. Kind of kick my team in the pants, see if he can get them in the playoffs and kind of catch lightning in a bottle. I am surprised with Peter DeBoer sitting out there, though, meaning that something hasn't happened. He's that big name that I thought would probably jump in at some point this season. There's still plenty of time to do so, but Nick mentions it. Winnipeg really struggling. I think LA is a team that just has left me wanting so much more all season long, and question marks about the coaching there. Obviously the Leafs have gone through theirs, but they've stayed patient with Craig Berube. So meaning I'm a bit surprised we're sitting here in 2026 and we flipped the calendar and no head coaches. We've had a GM change, but no coaching changes in the NHL yet.
And look at the Sabres after that GM change. So you know, we've seen this before. A spark right behind the bench and you see something, but I don't think there's a quick fix in Winnipeg. I think they punched above their weight last year. I think there was a lot of players that had career years. And again, I look at their lineup and I just see a one-line team. I'm not surprised. I guess I kind of am surprised, Nick, your point about Hellebuyck, but 34 points is dead last in the NHL. The LA Kings have been more disappointing for me because they have players up and down their lineup. Quentin Byfield has had a down year, right? Kempe and Fiala haven't been Kempe and Fiala of years past. So I could see a switch in LA, and I could see that sparking the Kings, but I think the Jets are in trouble.
My memory's not great, but didn't Winnipeg win the President's Trophy last year?
They did.
Right? Yes. Like it's been a really, really bizarre year, guys. Like you look at the standings outside of Colorado, who's just blowing everybody out of the water. And even in the Central, I give Dallas and Minnesota high degree. But in the East, everything's wide open. In the West, it seems like everything's wide open. Teams like San Jose still in the mix. But it's just been really, really weird from that aspect. And I guess one day we'll see a coach who's getting paid by six different teams, right? We're going down that road at this point.
Yeah, maybe. You know, you look at the Pacific, every single team is in the negative when it comes to goal differential, right? That's just wild. And you look at the entire Eastern Conference and you see Tampa Bay up at the top, 53 points. The Blue Jackets are at the bottom, but 43 points. Like, it's a 3 or 4 game winning streak, and all of a sudden this team is in the thick of a playoff race. So I think that's part of it, why we haven't seen some of these coaching changes, and it'll certainly be an interesting trade deadline with teams feeling like, hey, if we could avoid a 3 or 4 game losing streak and have one of ourselves a winning streak, we're right back in this thing. Look at the Penguins. They've won 5 straight. You know, they're 4 points away from first in the Eastern Conference. Remarkable.
Put it this way. I mean, Columbus has been buyers and sellers in the last 3 weeks, and the only pretty much active team as we look ahead here to week 14 in the fantasy hockey season. Where does time go? January 5th to 11th, we got 5 games on Monday, 10 Tuesday, 5 Wednesday, 12 Thursday, 3 on Friday, 14 Saturday, 5 on Sunday. Grand total of 54, the 4-game teams you want to look at this week. Anaheim, Boston, Calgary, Columbus, LA, Nashville, Ottawa, San Jose, Seattle, Utah, Vegas, Washington, and Winnipeg. The 2-game teams, Darren Radish, have yourself a week, by the way. the Tampa Bay Lightning. You want to stay away, stay clear from that team, who has certainly weathered the storm, Jake, without Victor Hedman.
Well, I like the Flames schedule quite a bit this week. I know Pete's got a couple Flames coming up in the waiver wire to help you out there from that angle. The Capitals have a decent schedule. I don't mind looking at them. The Utah Mammoth as well, I think another team that you could look at this week with a pretty nice schedule. Now, it might be tough to mine some fantasy value out of Utah this year. We talk about top-heavy teams. A lot of those guys are going to be owned up. So I think you got to dig deep, and that's why we got guys like Pete Jensen, Chris Meany here to help you dig deep into that waiver wire.
I wanted to give a little bit of love to Seattle. Like, the Kraken have played decent hockey, and we were always kind of like, they don't have much offensively outside of, like, Jared McCann, but Tolvanen and Stevenson have some chemistry. Eberle has shown up lately. Matty Beniers, so keep an eye on the Kraken. They're essentially all of their players are widely available in fantasy hockey leagues, and Joey Decord has had decent ratios as well. So Seattle's a team that you could stream this week.
Good week, yeah, to look at Seattle in general with that schedule. And New Year's resolutions, Pete Jensen, a big topic of focus on today's podcast, Week 14 waiver wire list. Let's start with the Calgary Flames, man.
Yeah, the Flames are playing good hockey in front of Dustin Wolf. Wolf is actually one of the more valuable goalies over the past month of the season, and they're getting nice secondary scoring. You're seeing Blake Coleman reemerge as a fantasy gold mine with the hits and the shots on goal and the goal scoring. He's playing with Backlund. Backlund is playing extremely well with a 7-game point streak and 10 points in that span, averaging 3 shots on goal over that span. And then you look deeper, Blake Coleman ranks very highly, 92nd percentile in high danger shots on goal. So you're seeing Calgary kind of weather the early season storm where they were just plain awful, and now they're starting to play more competitively. And it seems like that line, even though it's line 3, Coleman and Backlund seems to be driving this team on a daily basis in fantasy.
Yeah, you're right, Pete. Even though they're thrown out there as line 3, you look at the ice time, they don't play like your regular third line. So I like those shouts with those two Calgary Flames. Dare I say Anthony Mantha is actually becoming consistent, Pete? Dare I say that? A guy that's been so inconsistent up and down throughout the course of his career feels like he's maybe finding something in Pittsburgh this year.
Yeah, the black and yellow's looking good right now. The Steelers got into the playoffs, a wild game last night. The Penguins are in a playoff spot approaching the midway point of the NHL season. So, you know, whatever the future may hold for Pittsburgh sports, the present is healthy, alive, and well. So that's good to see. I think that Mantha, with his profile right now, 14 goals, 14 assists. He's well-rounded. He's also among the high-danger goal leaders. He's also got one of the hardest shots among forwards in the entire NHL this season, plus, top 10 in that category in the hardest shot max shot speed. So, yeah, I think that when Malkin comes back, he's going to be even better. And like you guys alluded to earlier, Chinakov certainly has a high ceiling. Maybe we could see it finally surface in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that's a good buy low by Dubas. Yeah, he does have a lot of skill. Mantha playing really good. A lot of talk in the offseason about the Canadiens not having a second-line center. Pete, they may have one in Kapanen. What do you see from him?
Right, we always kind of, poke at them and say, oh, they didn't address this position, but now you got a rookie-eligible player who's playing extremely well. He's playing with Slavkovsky and Demidov, and then he is tied with Beckett Seneca for the NHL rookie lead in both goals with 13 and even strength goals with 11. He also has 2 shorthanded points, so, and he's among the rookie leaders in even strength points as well with 19. That's 3rd in his rookie class. He blocks shots. He's got 38 blocks behind only Slavkovsky for the Canadiens forward lead. And then he's another guy that's scoring from high danger goals this season. He's got 9 of his 13 goals this season have come from those prime areas. So, good line mates, good trajectory, helping the team in their area of biggest need. As long as that goaltending can, shape up and not ship out, I think Montreal will be just fine. And Kapanen's given them some life here in the second line.
Pete, one name that really stood out for me on this week's waiver wire list is Justin Sortif. If you remember last offseason, people were like, oh, this guy was on the Panthers, and oh, what did they just get for this Justin Sortif? And I think we're finding out why the value was there for both sides. And now, especially Tom Wilson's banged up for Washington. This guy's been, you know, played a bigger role the last little while, hasn't he?
He has, and we've been tracking him for a couple weeks here. We didn't put him on the waiver wire list, but he's been playing in the top six. Sometimes he surfaces on Ovi's line. Sometimes he's on the second line with Protas and Wilson. Now, Protas and Wilson are both injured, but he brings some grit and tenacity for sure. He's got some high shot volume lately, you know, covers hits a little bit. He's, over his past three games, has 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists. All 5 of his goals have come from high danger zones. So I think that Sordiff is one of those hidden gems that, you know, people may not even know his name or how to pronounce it, but he could be a difference maker for one of the, honestly, one of the deepest teams in the entire NHL, and their depth will be put to the test if Wilson or Protas misses any time.
Pete, I teased earlier that you were going to be digging deep, and you really did bring the shovel with Sordiff at 1% owned, and you have another player on the list that's actually 1% owned, and this is great. I play in 16-team leagues. I need these 1% owned guys, and you have another one out in Boston who seems to be making a bit of an impact.
Yeah, you remember that Fraser Minton name from Toronto, guys, right? Consecutive multi-point games. He's playing with Pasternak. They're spreading out the scoring since Pasta came back. Geeky's playing on a separate line, and the Bruins are another one of those teams that's kind of hanging around and a big surprise for sure. Minton has already reached career highs in goals with 8, assists with 9, and points with 17. He covers hits more than 2 per game and also blocks. So it's one of those guys, New Year's resolutions, like you're saying. Take a step back halfway point in the season, especially in roto leagues. Look at the categories that you're hurting in and then pick somebody up to address 1 or 2 of them. Even if the guy is only providing a touch of scoring like Minton, like he's knocking some other categories out of the park right now for the Bruins.
In a bangers league, right? He's checking those boxes. Pete, do you have any defense in 1% owned, or we're going to look for somebody maybe in the 20-30% range here? What do you got on the blue line?
So Samuelson, who I touched on last week's show, he's kept it going with the ice time and the shot volume, still sprinkling in some points. He's up to 19 points. He's averaging a career high 22-31 per game for Buffalo as their number 3 defenseman. Again, Sabres' winning streak came to an end, but they've won 10 out of 11. And showing revitalized play for sure under Lindy Ruff. I think that Matejchuk from Columbus is another one of those guys playing on the top pair with Zach Werenski. Werenski came back from injury, back-to-back multi-point games, and same thing for Matejchuk. And I think that, you know, you look at his pedigree, maybe people don't remember, number 12 pick in the 2022 NHL draft. Columbus has always needed secondary defenseman play behind Werenski, and they're starting to get it here. It's good to see what we've seen. He's only 10% rostered. You could also sprinkle in Brant Clark. He's been showing some good signs lately, but it's with the Kings, like you said, it's very disappointing. They're inconsistent, so I would go with Matejchuk for Columbus right now. He's sparsely rostered.
Lastly, in the crease, and our apologies to Sabres fans. Last Monday, we came out here and said, hey, Alex Lyon, then he didn't even make it to another start. So our apologies on that front. But Levi Marilainen, as much as I wanted you to pronounce that name, I'll do it for you. The Ottawa Senators, obviously, right now without Linus Allmark.
It's a good opportunity for him. You know, unfortunate that they have to be dealing with that with Allmark. But I think that Marilainen, you know, 6 wins in 12 games. That's decent consecutive wins with 47 saves in the span. The Senators, we'll give them props. They've dealt with many injuries and absences this season at different points. They are allowing the 4th fewest shots on goal per game in the NHL, 25.5. So that's really impressive and telling about how the defense plays in front of their goaltender, whether it's Allmark or somebody else. And then his 5-on-5 save percentage this season is really strong, Marilainen at 929. So, you know, he's doing kind of the dirty work, and the team is just helping him out defensively, which goes a long way when streaming a goalie.
Love it, buddy. NHL.com/fantasy. We'll hit the break. Other side on the money, brought to you by Bet365.
The scrape of blades, the clash of sticks. Hockey's more than a game. It's unrelenting, never give up moments that make you feel alive. And so you commit to the weekly ups and downs, the long road to the playoffs. You wear your heart on your sleeve and your jersey with pride. And when you're there for your team, the NHL Shop is there for you. Check out the largest selection of official NHL gear at NHLShop.com. Fanatics experience.
Hey everyone, Adnan and Virk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Virk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two.
Whoever's saying trade one of them, you don't know anything about hockey.
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm rooting for this team.
With new guests every week, we will talk about hockey and more.
Can't wait till you watch the movie, because it's the biggest award of her career.
He went into the cheetah exhibit, and the cheetah took a piece out of him, and he came into the ring the next day.
Tune in to NHL Unscripted with Virk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen with you. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365 and an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. So looking at this week's slate, obviously very busy. 5 on Monday, 10 on Tuesday, and then 5 more on Wednesday. Plenty to get to, and I'll start, guys. Anaheim, Washington, simple stuff. Just give me the over. The Ducks are slide, man. They can't make a save. In fact, I just dropped Lucas Dostal in one of my leagues. And Jake, Detroit and Ottawa, for me, just screams three-way tie season. And that's the way I'm playing this. I think it gets to overtime.
Well, yeah, with the way that this conference has gone, I would not be surprised. We see some more overtime, and these teams tighten up even more and more as we get closer to the end of the season. You're right on Anaheim. I've got to be a little bit concerned. I think they had a little bit of leeway there. Okay, the Pacific isn't exactly crushing it, but all of a sudden your playoff spot gets in jeopardy. So Anaheim's got to kick it into gear here in 2026. I can't believe I'm saying this, Meany, but I kind of like how Seattle's been playing. I know you mentioned them from a fantasy standpoint, some of these guys. Not a team I really was looking about back early in the season, but we've been getting some good numbers on them. I think we get another good number on them on Monday. Again, Calgary's been improved as well, but I think at that price, Seattle is at least worth a look. And in a rare scheduling quirk, we've got Minnesota and LA playing each other again in LA, just like we did a couple nights ago. LA won that game in a shootout. I think Minnesota bounces back and gets this one. Basically a pick 'em price. I think they return the favor to the Kings on Monday night, Meany.
Yeah, man, Seattle at +130 is extremely interesting, just the way that they're playing hockey right now. And a lot of their guys are even money for a point. I mean, you can take Chandler Stephenson at +100 for a point. You can put Tolvanen in there with correlation at 2-1. You can go Matty Berniers or Jordan Eberle and get +220 as well. So certainly like those calls. I like Ryan Leonard today, right? We're uncertain about Protas or Tom Wilson. And you're right, the Ducks are a mess. They've allowed the most goals. They have one of the worst penalty kills in the NHL. And Leonard's still available in leagues, guys. Like, get him now while you can, because he's been playing on the top power play with the big boys. He has a 3-game point streak. His last game, he had 20 minutes of ice time, which was a career high for him. He's got points in 9 of his last 13, with 13 over that span. So he's a guy that I think could be a sneaky little player here down the stretch for you.
I'd be remiss as well. Matthew Schaefer is an absolute stud. He was incredible against the Maple Leafs over the weekend. And the rookie class, it's over. I mean, there's been some strong rookies, but Matthew Schaefer far and above everybody else. I like that Minnesota-LA game because of Quinn Hughes. They're going to play over 1.5 in that game. I'm looking forward to Tuesday slate as well, Jake. Colorado-Tampa, I like the over. And I like a couple of revenge looks. So Anaheim at Philadelphia, Cutter Gauthier, maybe an anytime goal. Trevor Zegras, maybe the point prop. And then don't forget about this one, Nashville at Edmonton. We know that's an auto play of Leon Draisaitl, anytime goalie. He has 27 goals in 29 career games against the Predators, Jake.
Another one for me on Monday that I got my eye on, the New York Rangers playing their first game post-Winter Classic. They get that big win in the Winter Classic against the Florida Panthers. You could look at it and say, hey, maybe this is the boost the Rangers need. You go out and you win an event like that. You win it very comfortably against a good Panthers team. But the problem is now they return home to Madison Square Garden, which has just been a house of horrors. House of horrors. But hey, maybe they could put that behind them. 2025, this, you know, it's a new year. We're all looking for New Year's resolutions. The Rangers' resolution should be winning more games on home ice if they want to be a playoff team this year. I don't know if I'm ready to back them, though, yet, Meany. I think this could be a pretty good spot for the Utah Mammoth. Another team I've been very disappointed by this year. Just so inconsistent, not able to string any wins together. But I've got my eye on Utah. I think this could be a tricky spot for the Rangers' first game after the Winter Classic.
You see all the jokes on social media. Maybe we just need to take the roof off MSG and the Rangers will win a couple hockey games. But yeah, I mean, Mika Zibanejad, the first ever hat trick in a Winter Classic game. He had the 5 points. I mean, he's got 3 multi-point games in his last 7. So he's somebody to keep an eye on. Vincent Trocheck as well. I want to go back to just that Ottawa and Detroit game. I just see goals. Like sure, Nick, let's get to overtime. But, you know, Cousins is -120 for a point playing with Batherson and Brady. And somebody who's asking for a same game parlay, this is the game. You can take Cousins, Batherson, and Brady for a point, Larkin and Raymond for a point. That's +550 at Bet365. Then you get that 30% profit boost over there as well. So keep an eye on that one.
A lot of value in talk about boosts. I know Pete Jensen was texting me off the hook during the Winter Classic. He's a big Fonzie guy. So over to the Petey props, what do you like for this week, Petey?
So I saw a cool category market on Bet365 to have most shots on goal in the single game. And I like Zibanejad for that, +750 against Utah to have the most shots on goal in the game. He has been on a heater even beyond that game, right? Means 29 points in his past 28 games with 71 shots in the span. So a very healthy total there. And then to piggyback off, we talked about Sordiff +350 anytime goal against Anaheim. Anaheim very leaky. He's going to see elevated usage at even strength and on the power play if Wilson and or Protas is out tonight. Also keep an eye on Oliver Bjorkstrand is on a red hot Tampa Bay power play. Since Hedman went down, Radish came back. You know, Radish is up there. And the team has transformed on the power play, and Bjorkstrand's a part of it. They've gone from, I think, 24th on the power play when Hedman was healthy to 7th in the league over that next span. So I really like what Bjorkstrand could do here.
A lot of value certainly right now in the Tampa Bay Lightning moving forward, and a lot of value in NHL Unscripted, guys. This is one of my favorite interviews in the entire league. He was a guest this week, Mike Commodore. Make sure you go and check it out. It was awesome stuff. So looking forward to Thursday, Week 14, Mailbag Edition. Thank you to producer Bob Bender, for Jay Conn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.